And with that, gentlemen, let's move on to the second part of the shiur, which is going to be, I will tell you right now, less nice, more controversial. It will bother you, and I hope it does. And the reason is because it bothered me, and I think that if it bothered me, it's not because I'm unique, but because it's something that should bother us all. Now, what do I mean? If you look on the screen, let's begin this year. Don't stop driving on Shabbos because of me, when tolerance is bad Jewish taste. Now, we all are modern Orthodox Jews, or in some way or another, we go by that particular definition. Correct, Arthur? Now, we all know that in the world we're living in, we try to combine between, I would say, the values of the modern world and the values of Jewish world. Namely, the values of the Torah and the values of the modern world or the postmodern world in which we function. Now, sometimes this combination is easy because the values are pretty much the same. For example, Alex will admit that just like you're not allowed to murder because it says so in the Torah, you're also not allowed to murder in the modern world. On the other hand, let's be honest, not always are those two values living in consonance with one another. So I'll give you a very simple example. If a person is running for office and promises that when they get into office, they will not ever raise taxes. Everyone remember George Bush the father? Read my lips, no new taxes. And then he gets into office and he raises taxes. In the Jewish world, what's that called? What do you call that in the Jewish world? I was elected for office on the assumption that I will do this. You voted for me because I said no new taxes. And then I got in and I raised the taxes the next day. What do we call that? Anyone?
A politician.
Now, what do we call it in Jewish? A man that doesn't keep his word, a man that lied, a man that's dishonest. It's called mekach ta'ut. Namely, I sold you a bag of goods for X amount of money. And then, after you took that X amount of money, you gave me a bag of goods that I never asked for. I asked you for apples, you gave me oranges. That is what we call mekach ta'ut. Mekach ta'ut ha-mekach patel. Namely, there's no deal. You have to give me back the money, and I give you back the oranges. And that's the end of the story. That's Jewish. You can't be dishonest in Judaism when it has ramifications. I mean, you can lie for kicks. Does anyone know what lie for kicks means? Lies for kicks is if Harold decides to tell us, I just jumped off a building, 10 stories up, and nothing happened. Well, that's okay, because it means nothing. But if I come along and I lie for ramifications, for reasons, like, I will tell you, I will not do this when I get into office. And once you get into office, you do exactly that. Then that's lying, that's against Jewish law, and you should basically get re-elected, call new elections, and get re-elected on the new platform. That's in the Jewish world. What happens in the modern world? In the modern world, democracy overrides all. So if you got into office, even if you lied your way in, that overrides the iser, quote-unquote, of lying. Okay, how do I know this? Because in the height of COVID here in Israel, when things were totally shut down here in Israel, there was one thing that remained open. One kind of gathering that was allowed to be happening. What one was it? Not a tish. Not a kafos. What was it? Demonstrations against the government. Why? Because democracy overrides pikuach nefesh. Not in Judaism. In Judaism, pikuach nefesh overrides democracy. So to make a long story short, not always do the values of the modern world live in consonance with the values of the Jewish world. But we try to combine them as much as possible. Many a times there is no conflict, like the example of murder, the example of stealing. But sometimes there is a conflict, especially when you have values that clash and you ask yourself a very simple question. What is more important than what? Okay? Based on that, let us read the following post from an Orthodox rabbi here in Israel. I don't want anyone to say, oh, he's one of the people from this and this yeshiva in the West Side. I don't want anyone to say he's too modern Orthodox. He's a rabbi in Israel. And let's read what he wrote. Oh, yeah? So let's start again with a new share. Okay, we're going to do this again. Does everyone see this on screen?
I see Rabbi Pearl.
No, I see Rabbi Pearl.
Okay, it's not changing. Hold on.
No. The next slide. The next slide in the PowerPoint.
I'm trying. Do you see what I see?
No.
This is strange. Okay, let's do this again. Okay, let's go. Do you see this? Let's do this again. Do you see what I see?
Yeah.
Okay. Rabbi Avishai David is the Rosh Yeshiva of a yeshiva called Torah Tshraga that sits in the building called Grus Kollel, Grus Campus in Jerusalem. And I don't think that anyone that knows him will say he's a totally modern Orthodox rabbi. I would even say far from it. He put out a book called Discourses of Rav Soloveitchik on the Parsha, Darosh Darash Yosef. And he brings the following words of Rav Soloveitchik. Avram told the B'nai Chet, Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. The translation contains a fundamental dilemma. Is Avraham a citizen of their society? Or does his value system clash with theirs, resulting in an identity that is distinctive? Basically, every one of us Jews many a times feel like a ger, a stranger. Like when we take off for Yontiv and no one else is taking off for Yontiv. When we're buying meat that costs $20 a pound, when our non-Jewish neighbors are buying meat that costs $3 a pound, that's when we feel like a ger, strange. When do we feel like a toshav, like a resident?
Not so much non-Jewish neighbors, it's against our Jewish neighbors.
What? Okay. And on the other hand, what's a toshav, a resident? When there's a cure for COVID, for cancer, or whatnot, we're as equal as any other human being on earth. And from this perspective, we're constantly living with this. Are we a ger or are we a toshav? Are we a resident or are we a stranger? Based on this, let us see the following post. Everyone see it on screen or just me? Yes, many a times it's both. It depends where. Anyway, I'm going to read a post of a rabbi that in my humble opinion...
Switch screens.
What?
You do not switch screens.
Something's wrong today. I'm switching screens on my computer and you don't see it. Why is that? Anyone know? Let's start again. I'll put up the right screen, and we'll see. Okay. Do you see what it says? Zekara mispar chodashim?
Yeah.
Okay. Zekara mispar chodashim lachar shemuneti lirav kila. It happened a few months after I became a rabbi of a community. Huzmanti lechatuna shel echad ha-chaverim, v'kamuvan higati b'simcha rabba. I was invited to the wedding of one of the members of the community. And of course I came. Everybody knows a rabbi is obligated to join every simcha of the community. I hope most rabbis see that as a privilege and not just as a job. In any case, kishenichnasti la'olam, when I came into the hall, kama chavirim sihu oti mirachok, a few people recognized me. And what did one person do that he saw me? He wanted to come over and say hello. Now, how do you come over and say hello to a rabbi? What is the protocol for a gentleman who's not covering his hair to come over and say hello to a rabbi? Echad mihem yashar shalaf et hakipa mehakis v'sam oto al rosho. He took out a kippa from his pocket, he put it on his head, and he came to say hello to me. Hem chashvu she'eineni roeh. He thought I didn't see it. Aval ani ra'iti, I saw it. Now what did the rabbi do? He went up to this fine gentleman and said to him, this is not a shul, and this is not prayer service. If you go without a kippah without seeing me, go without a kippah when you see me. Let me meet you the way you are. Okay. When the story ended here, I said, you know, I have mixed feelings, but for this I don't give a sheer. The next line bothered me even more. And the reason is because we all know that the kippah, as much as kippah is part of our society in the year 2021, halachically, I'm not so sure it's the end of the world if you don't wear a kippah. Let's go on. Miaz nisiti lahachdir b'chavrei hakehilah et ha-meser hazeh shuv v'shuv. He didn't go ahead and just do this. He went ahead and told his community again and again that this is his policy. Ve'odeh, and I will admit, gam kesheze haya kasheh li, even when it was difficult for me. Ki lo pam ze lo hayta kippah, ela chilul Shabbat. Because many a times it's not just a person not wearing a kippah, it's a person mechalel Shabbos. Ve'afal pikan, and even though it's chilul Shabbos and not a kippah, not a minhug, but a real bona fide violation of the biblical Torah, even so, nisiti l'shader et ha'tchusha ativit biyoter. I try to the best of my ability to go ahead and to say you have to be natural. Kesheraiti otam be'oto, when I saw them in a car on Shabbos, or machzikim pelephone be'emtza rechol b'Shabbat, or holding a cell phone in the street on Shabbos, lo amarti davar, I never said a word. Shidarti asakim karagil, I always said it's fine. Asakim karagil, business as usual. Im chiyuch u'birkat Shabbat shalom chama, with a smile and a good Shabbos to them. Im hem margishim beseder ito b'shamayim al chilul ha-Shabbat shalahem, if they feel okay about their chilul Shabbos between them and God, eineni rotzeh she'argishu in nochut biglali, I don't want them to feel uncomfortable because of me. And then he explains, ahavat Hashem, the love of God, he sha'amura lahem litkarev yoter l'Shabbat. Lo ha'pachad meharav. The love of God is the one that's supposed to bring him closer to God, not the fear from the rabbi. Do what you do because you believe it's true, not because of me. And thus he was able to meet people, he says, without any masks. They felt comfortable with him. There was a good relationship with him. And ultimately, he says that he had a very big joy from all of this. Why? Kasher chaver gilui rosh amad b'shabbat im ha-pelephone b'yad b'emtza ha-rechov itzbia alai v'amar zeh harav sheli. Because a person who was mechalel Shabbos on Shabbos walked around the street and said, there's my rabbi. Gentlemen, at Khan the Post, what do you think?
Say this, but I sort of agree with him.
You sort of agree with him, Avi, okay.
I see kids in the neighborhood that are talking to them on Shabbos. I go over to them and say Shabbat Shalom to them. Not that I'm around, but I think it means more to them. Eventually, long term, they'll probably not use the on Shabbos if they see them, you know, accept it as is. But that's my opinion. I mean, luckily, just the hard shot.
So, Avi's saying that he has to think long term. Short term, they're doing an Avera. The Torah says, Hacheach tochiach et amitecha velo tisa alav chet. You shall reprimand your fellow Jew who's doing an Avera and not hold his sin in your heart. However, long term, it would be better to put on a smile, to wish him a Shabbat Shalom, and hopefully, Avi says, with that, maybe, as time goes on, they'll come closer to more observance of Judaism. Do I understand you correctly, Avi? Avi?
Yes.
Okay. Does everyone see the screen?
Yeah.
Anyone else have something to say about this post? Nothing. Gentlemen, we in Judaism, in this day and age, see a person who's driving a car on Shabbos, holding a cell phone in their hand, we can do one of three things. One is exactly what Avi said, if I understood him correctly, and that's the middle point of tolerate. The Gemara says that just like we have a mitzvah to reprimand a fellow Jew, as you can see on the right side of the screen, the pasuk in Vayikra, Hocheach tochiach et amitecha velo tisa alav chet, you shall reprimand your fellow Jew and not hold his sin. That's a positive commandment. And a negative commandment next is it. V'lo tisa alavche. The Gemara in Yevamo says in the middle column, Keshem shemitzvah l'adam lomar davar ha-nishma, kach mitzvah l'adam shelo lomar davar she'eino nishma. Just like it's a mitzvah to reprimand someone that will listen to you, it's also a mitzvah to keep your mouth shut if they won't listen to you. Does anyone explain to me, please, why? Why should you keep your mouth shut if they won't listen to you? So first of all, Bruce, I asked the question, and you're already jumping ahead 10 steps. Let's first answer the question. What's the reason to keep your mouth shut if they won't listen?
What's the point?
What's the point, first of all?
Unless there is a point.
Thank you.
Of you still saying, listen, don't kill this guy.
Kill? We're not talking about killing. All we're talking about is reprimanding. So first of all, what's the point?
You might get this person very, very upset.
You're not going to not only is there no point, says Bruce, but Harold adds that you may do an Avera, and that's to get the person upset. Instead of the person saying, thank you, I didn't know you know how to hold a cell phone on Shabbos, you're going to get them upset. So you're getting a Jew upset. You may even have a Jew that's going to be upset at you. You're causing an Avera of the opposite of a Haftal Reacha Kamolcha. Could very well be. What else? What's the point? You may be doing an Avera. And very simply, gentlemen, look at the Gemara in Beitza right afterwards. There's an Isser on Shabbos to dance, to clap hands. And the Gemara says, no, should we reprimand people? And the Gemara says, no, better not to. Why? Mutav shehiyu shogigin, ba'al yehiyu mizidin. Say this the Gemara in Beitza, daf lamed amud aleph, that many a times we have to take into consideration that even if we say something, the person won't change what they're doing, even if it's wrong, and therefore it's better that they do it in error, shogeg, than if they do it on purpose, mazid. Correct?
Well, are you picking specifically Shabbat
of errors? No, I'm not picking Shabbat, and it's a whole shir in of itself. What's the, I would say, the boundaries of that statement? But to make a long story short, if I can read the words of the Rambam in the famous, famous Igeret Hashmad, he says, it's not a good idea to push away those that violate Shabbos and to be repulsed by them. Ela, rather, try as much as possible to bring them close, to outreach to them, and to make them try to do mitzvos. V'karpir shul chazal, shehaposhea shepasha b'yirtzano, k'sheyavol lebet ha-knesset l'yipalel, mekablim oto v'eno agin lo binag bizayon. Namely, you have to ultimately ask yourself, when you go ahead and reprimand the Jew, is it going to bring him closer or further? And we just came to the conclusion that many a times, reprimanding a Jew would bring him further away from Judaism and not closer to Judaism. Correct? Avi, did I understand you correctly? So to make a long story short, the first thing to do is to tolerate. But I want to make clear, tolerate doesn't mean it's great that you're driving on Shabbos. It's wonderful you're holding a cell phone. That's not what it means. It means keep your mouth shut in terms of reprimanding them. Okay? Do not reprimand them. Okay? On the other hand,
wait a second. Isn't the job of the rabbi to go on the correct era?
We'll get to that.
Yeah, but just saying Shabbat Shalom sometimes to someone walking with a cell phone, talking on it, is reprimand.
Maybe.
Them.
Maybe.
You know, they're going to say, why are you bothering me?
Correct. So as you could see here, okay.
If someone says, "Good shot," I take a Shabbos back. I mean, there's no sense of doing bad. I mean, there's none of that
Shabbos. We'll say good Shabbos, Matt.
Okay. So, you heard very well that the first way, you see that the three options on the screen is exactly what we're debating about. On the one hand, you can tolerate by keeping your mouth shut. On the other hand, you can actively outreach, invite that person to a meal. If I can just quote Rav Shaul Yisraeli, another great, great rabbi, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, of the religious Zionist community, who had a new term called Pikuach Nefesh Ruchani. Not Pikuach Nefesh physical of a human being, but a spiritual Pikuach Nefesh that he felt we're in that situation. We're not talking about one or two non-religious Jews. We're talking about many. And therefore, our job is to outreach, to invite them to a Shabbos meal and whatnot. That's another option. More active, not passive. And on the other side, to reprimand them, to wholly come up to them and say, you know, what you're doing is wrong, or I believe what you're doing is wrong, and I'd love to talk to you about it and debate with you and win the debate. And if I win the debate, then hopefully you'll keep Shabbos. Or forget about winning the debate. I'm going to tell you my honest to goodness opinion. You can like it, you can not like it, you can put it in your pocket, or you can throw it in the garbage, but I will reprimand. So there's three options anytime we see a wrongdoing with regard to Judaism. To reprimand actively, to outreach actively, or to tolerate. And I guess the question that you're debating with this morning here is exactly this question. What is the best strategic point of view that we should follow? And that's a general question. And as Avi mentioned and others, I don't believe we can give a blanket answer for every situation. It really depends on the person, it depends on the reality, it depends on so many factors. However,
if there's a victim involved, it's different.
Everything is different. You're right. If there's a victim involved, etc. But there's one thing that everyone agrees with. We can decide what we're going to do. Here are three options, but all the options are there for one reason. They're there to ask ourselves, are what's going to bring this person closer to Judaism? Closer to Judaism. Again, I want to be clear, not closer to me, because I don't think I'm perfect. Closer to Judaism. What's going to be the right way to go? To tolerate, to outreach, or to reprimand? Okay. In this post, on the other hand, I didn't even see that word. All I saw was tolerate. Tolerate for the sense of tolerance, not tolerate for the sense of bringing them closer to Judaism. How do I know this? Because a person was sitting on the road on Shabbos with a cell phone in his hand, saw the rabbi and said, "That's my rabbi." Why is that my rabbi? Because not only is he a nice guy, and not only doesn't he reprimand me, he also doesn't outreach. And he also doesn't tolerate. What does he do? He says, live and let live. I keep Shabbos. You don't keep Shabbos. I don't say a word to you. You don't say a word to me. B'shalom al Yisrael. That's tolerance in terms of the modern world. ABC. Live and let live. It wasn't, and I quote, tolerance in order to bring them closer to Judaism. It was tolerance for the sake of tolerance. And that's my first problem with the post. Everyone understand what I just said? Silence. Does everyone want me to repeat that?
I understand.
Okay, now let's go on to my second point about this post.
It was just written the wrong way. Maybe it was
written. So Avi says, maybe it was written the wrong way. So I wrote to this rabbi, and I said to him, you just told me what you don't do. Can you please tell me what you do in order to bring him closer to Judaism? And his answer was as follows. First of all, I have to be honest. If someone asks you a serious question, takes his time to actually read your post and write to you, not, you know, record a message on WhatsApp in between the chulent and the kugel, but rather go ahead and actually write to you. Then write back. Instead of that, this rabbi writes back a slogan. What was the slogan he wrote back to me? This is the way I do it. Hevei mitalmidav shel Aharon. Be the like the students of Aaron. What does Aaron do? Ohev et habriyot, o mekarvan la Torah. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook said, What do you do? Ohevet Abriot Kedei LeKarvan LaTorah. You love the fellow human being, the fellow Jew, in order to bring him close to the Torah. So by love, by showing them I like you, you're a good man, I smile at you, I say hello to you, I bring him closer to the Torah. That was his answer to me. First of all, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook did not say that. I checked this out very thoroughly. He never ever said, take off the Vav. But that's exactly what I wrote to him. I said, see, by taking off the Vav, you've changed the entire sentence. What does the sentence here say? It says two things. Ohevet Abriot, one. Two, Mekarvan LaTorah. Love the fellow human being. And two, bring him closer to the Torah. Namely, one does not have to do with the other. You have to love a fellow Jew, whether he agrees with you or doesn't agree with you. He's religious or not religious. It's a fellow Jew, and you should love him. As a matter of fact, this Mishnah isn't going to talk about a fellow Jew. It talks about Briot. There should be a basic respect for every human being. Nothing to do with bringing him closer to the Torah. That's the first thing you have to do. What's the second thing you have to do? Mekarvan LaTorah. This rabbi said that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook allegedly said, no, you love the fellow human being, and by doing so, somehow magically, mystically, comes closer to the Torah. I'm not a mystic. I read the Mishnah. There's a Vav there. The way I read the Mishnah, there's two activities. One is to love a fellow human being, and the second one is to bring him closer to the Torah. One is not like the other. You can love a human being, and at the same time, do everything possible to open the beauty of Judaism to them in order to bring them closer to the Torah. So, that was what, to answer your question, Avi, maybe he didn't write it correctly. He did write it correctly. He says, by not saying anything, he basically brings them closer to the Torah. And many people that saw what I wrote corrected him that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook never said that, and it's against the Mishnah. And ultimately, there's two activities here. One is to love a human being, and the second one is to bring him closer to the Torah, which leads me to my third point, and that is the following. Does love mean to just say to the person, you're great, you're wonderful, keep it up? I'm serious. Is that what love means? A couple is married. Married for kach v'kach so many years. They have, I don't know, 27 years of marriage behind them. Does anyone here believe that a happy marriage means that the husband never says to the wife and the wife never says to the husband, you know, what you did was stupid? You know, I don't agree with everything you do? Because if that's love, then excuse me, I don't want to be part of it. And I'll tell you why. That's not a relationship. I'll tell you why it's not a relationship. Because ultimately, you don't care what the other human being does. The other human being can go ahead and sleep late or leave their laundry on the floor or not clean up after themselves, and you go ahead and say, nothing. Why? Because you don't care. If I care about the human being, then I'm going to go ahead and sometimes reprimand them, just like if I care about the human being, I'm going to sometimes go and bless them. I'm going to say what you did is wonderful, or if that's not the case, what you did was terrible. Namely, if I care about someone, then it's not going to be just blessings. And I'll give you an example. Can you think of a biblical figure in the five books of Moses that only blessed the Jewish people and yet was an arch enemy of the Jewish people?
Bilaam.
Does anyone here think Bilaam was a friend of the Jewish people? Anyone? Yeah, you paid him, you didn't pay him. The bottom line is, were we commanded to kill Bilaam? We were commanded to kill Bilaam, you know why? Even though all he did was bless. That's all he did. He never cursed the Jewish people. He wanted to, it never happened. All he did was bless. He blessed the Jewish people so much that this morning, Bruce, you started your day with one of his blessings. What do I mean? Ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov mishkenotecha Yisrael. Did you say that this morning?
Yeah.
Huh? Who was the one that said that beautiful word? Bilaam. On Rosh Hashanah, Arthur, you davened? Did you say the pasuk? Lo hibit aven b'Yaakov, lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael, Hashem elokav imo, turat melech bo? Who said that? Holy day, Rosh Hashanah, we quote Bilaam. Bilaam, bless, bless, bless. So how come he was an arch enemy? I'll tell you exactly why he was an arch enemy. Because all he did was bless. When you only bless a human being, or you don't care what they do. If I care about another Jew, then by definition, if I care, I will bless, and sometimes I will critique. That's the nature of a relationship that two people care about. In this post, all we see is, I say nothing, you know, because I say nothing. If you say nothing, I wonder, do you really love the human being on the other side? You care less that they're not wearing a kippah. You care less that they're driving on Shabbos. You care less that they're maybe violating other laws. Now again, what are you going to do? You can tolerate, you can reprimand, you can outreach, you can do something in the middle, you could say it depends on the person. Strategically, we had a debate here what to do, but we all agreed the situation as we saw it was no good. But in his post, the situation as he saw it was great. So great that a person holds a cell phone on Shabbos and said, that's my rabbi. Why? Because he says nothing to me, and he basically says what I'm doing is great. If that's the case, then Bruce, strategically, he did the right thing. But again, I want to make clear, what you do, we can think about for the next 20 years. I'm not so sure we're going to agree. What do you do when you see someone with a cell phone on Shabbos in the street? But one thing is clear, we all agree that that situation is wrong. But when a rabbi posts what he does and doesn't say in one way or another that it's wrong. He really said was, yeah, it was difficult for me, but I never say a word because I don't want him to do anything because of me. Which leads me to my next point. And this is what Harold said earlier. Isn't a rabbi's job to outreach? Isn't a rabbi's job to promote Judaism? This rabbi felt, not my job. Someone puts on a kippah to say hello to me, I tell him to take it off. Someone drives on Shabbos, I wish him a good Shabbos, and I never once think of outreaching. Not my job. You do what you think is right. You know, live and let live. I keep Shabbos, you don't keep Shabbos, everything is fine. That's not a Jewish value, ladies and gentlemen. That is a non-Jewish value, which I like when it comes to general values, live and let live. But when it comes to Judaism, we just saw, you cannot go to sleep at night and say, if a fellow Jew is violating laws, I will live with it. What do you do? We have a debate, but we can't live with it. Isn't it a rabbi's job to promote Judaism? Which leads me to the next screen. Famous story in the Gemara, but I'm bringing it to you from the Code of Jewish Law. The Shulchan Aruch says that someone that violates Shabbos publicly, it's this, is that, there's many halachos. Wonderful. Someone that violates Shabbos publicly is this, is that, is the other thing, a big problem, we don't know. The bottom line is, it's a problem. Now, all this is true if he does it publicly. And probably today we don't have this situation because people today, for a variety of reasons, are not in the status of public violators of Shabbos. One of the exceptions to the rule brought in the Mishnah Berurah, this is not rocket science. Let's see what it is. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Ve'im mitbayesh la'asod ze bifnei adam gadol. If a person is embarrassed to violate Shabbos in front of a great person, av she'oseh davar ze bifnei kama anashim, even if he does it in front of many different people, gam ze letzin ayichashev. So a person violates Shabbos. For whatever reasons, he wasn't educated, he doesn't appreciate Shabbos. We can give a bunch of reasons. We don't know what to do. But all we know is one thing. When he sees a great person, a great rabbi walking down the street, he's embarrassed to violate Shabbos in front of them. So he waits till the rabbi crosses the street, and then he continues in his car. Or he parks a block away. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if he does that, he's no longer in the status of a public violator of Shabbos, even though he has no problem violating Shabbos in front of other Jews. But if he doesn't do it in front of a great man, namely a rabbi, then he's not a public violator of Shabbos. Namely, what is a rabbi supposed to promote, according to this? He's supposed to promote Judaism. He's supposed to promote an adherence to the tenets of Jewish law. And therefore, if in front of a rabbi, you put on a kippah before you speak to him. Yes, in front of a rabbi, you don't violate Shabbos. Then the rabbi is probably doing something right. In front of you, I won't do it. Namely, I'm not changing my whole lifestyle because of you. And I don't believe I should keep Shabbos. And I don't believe that my lifestyle is terrible. But out of respect for a great man, I don't do it in front of you. And we all know the stories from around the world where people drive to shul on Shabbos and yet do not park right in front of the shul out of respect. Because the shul creates an aura of sanctity that doesn't allow me to drive right in front of it. Now you tell me, based on his post, does this rabbi create an aura where people will not violate Shabbos in front of him? Unfortunately. Yes. Yes. In front of high esteem. And allow me to share a story to illustrate what I just said. A very, very true story. I won't say names. I won't say where. But whoever wants to talk to me after the share, I'll share it with you confidentially. There was a community in the world in which I was involved in placing the rabbi. Okay? This rabbi was a wonderful human being. Wonderful human being, a nice guy, always smiled, very friendly. When I visited the community after a few years that he was in his rabbinate there, the president of the community, very shrewd man, said to me the following words. When I asked him, how are things going? He said, we love the rabbi. We love him. He is so nice. He's kind. He has a heart of gold. We just don't respect him as a rabbi. I said, wow, that's pretty harsh, Arthur. What does that mean? And he said to me the following words. This rabbi doesn't know the word no. I said, what? Anything we ask him, he says, great. Anything we ask him. We ask him to do mixed seating in the shul, sure. We ask him to make davening at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, shachris, sure. This rabbi is a great man. We just don't respect him as a rabbi. That's what I believe this Mishnah Berurah means. A rabbi, amongst many things, stands for being a nice guy, a kind guy, should be someone that when they look at him, it's a pleasure to speak to him. But on the other hand, he has a backbone. He has a spine. And he has a spine that says, I stand up for A, B, C, and D. How I choose to promote A, B, C, and D is a question we all dealt with right here, strategically. But that's what I stand for. And I don't apologize for it. I believe Shabbos and Kashrus and Taharat HaMishpacha and making brachos before and after we eat and Yontiv and Festes are the way to go. And I think it's such a way to go that I'd like to share it with you. I like to share it with you so much and I believe you should be doing it. And we're going to have a debate about it. And in Shabbos, ultimately, that's what I'm going to talk about in shul amongst many things beyond being kind and nice. And v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and all the interpersonal laws of Judaism, which are as important, it's also important to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Taharat HaMishpacha and brachos before and after you eat, and yontiv and fast days.
So this obviously outside of Israel, and even in Israel, you have Reform rabbis, Reconstructed, Conservative, and Orthodox. You have so many rabbis that of different denominations that the average person who doesn't know much is perfectly comfortable with waving hello on Shabbos to his rabbi driving to shul.
Okay. So, but you see here, this is an Orthodox rabbi. An Orthodox rabbi that never once said what I just said, namely, I stand for. And because he never stood for it, people have no issue having a cell phone and saying good Shabbos to him. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that the day wasn't very far where someone would be driving, sees the rabbi, such a nice guy, would stop the car and say, hey, rabbi, you want a ride? You think this is totally preposterous? It's not. You all know the story about the rabbi that comes to the new community. The first Shabbos he's there, he talks about Shabbos. So Bruce, the president, takes him aside and says, listen, we have a lot of people here that violate Shabbos. They're not comfortable with you talking about Shabbos. The rabbi says, no problem. Next week, Arthur, he talks about kashrus. Bruce is away for Shabbos. Arthur, the vice president, takes me aside and says, listen, Rabbi, we have a lot of people here that eat treif. They're not comfortable with kashrus. All right. Third week, the rabbi comes, talks about making brachos before you eat. Harold takes me aside and says, listen, there's a lot of people here never heard the word bracha, never heard what brachos are. Not a good idea to talk about it. So finally, I'm getting frustrated, and I say, well, Bruce told me not to talk about Shabbos, and Arthur taught me not to talk about kashrus, and Harold's telling me not to talk about brachos. Well, what should I talk about? Anyone know the answer? Yeah, talk about Judaism. Talk about Yiddishkeit. Why do you have to talk about Shabbos and kashrus? Talk about Yiddishkeit. Gentlemen, Yiddishkeit also means, yes, making someone challenged. I don't like the word uncomfortable. Challenged by your very existence as a Jew, that's religious. Challenged means they look at you. They see you're an upright individual that first and foremost is a mensch, honest, pays on time, says hello, says goodbye, is kind, doesn't push online. As the Rambam says in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, the fundamentals of our Torah, Perekei. Secondly, keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Taharat HaMishpacha and whatnot. And thirdly, care so much about me that he wants me to be open to all of this beauty of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taharat HaMishpacha. Well, if a rabbi by his very existence challenges the human being, the Jew, then he's doing a great job. But as this president said, if they say we love him, he's just not a rabbi, then quite frankly, what is he doing there? What is he doing there?
Well, can I tell you? He could be talking about all the interpersonal relationships that he could be talking about in a community that's not too ritually observant. Being a nice guy, being a man, being honest, being a good parent, a good child, a good son, a daughter. There's many, many things this rabbi could talk about. A spice to a crowd who is simply not ritually observant. And there's a lot of aspects of Judaism he really could speak about. So it's a great joke if you're talking about an observant Orthodox crowd, which, if they're not keeping those main things, they're not Orthodox to begin with.
Bruce, I hope what you're saying is that a rabbi has to also talk about, as equal, as I said earlier, being a mensch, because it's part of Judaism. We have laws of interpersonal relationships, just like we have laws of Shabbos. The problem is, we sometimes think that frum means that it means only Shabbos, kashrus, and the ritual laws, not the interpersonal laws. I hope that's what you're saying. But if you're saying, let the rabbi only speak about what's convenient, then I'm sorry. He's not challenging his community or himself spiritually. Would I talk to a reform community about Shabbos Kashrus, gentlemen, a true story? The answer is 100% yes. I don't come there to fight. I don't come there to debate. I have spoken in a reform community, not during davening. They asked me to give a class, and I spoke to them. Two lectures. One lecture, as Bruce said, interpersonal relationships. How to be an upright human being in a world in which I believe the word upright human being is going out of style. People don't say hello to each other on the sidewalks because they're listening to their cell phone. They have their earphones on, which are noise canceling. I don't get it. They're on planes. They sit next to someone for 10 hours. Never, hi, how are you? My name is Yeshua. Where do you come from? Gornesh. Lecture number one. Lecture number two. You ready for this, Bruce? Lecture number two. The beauty of brachot before eating. Actually, there was a word there with a B I found because I called it triple B. Beauty of brachot before, I forgot the B I used. Okay, I spoke about brachot before eating. That's what I spoke about. Now, why did I speak about Shabbos? Because I had only two lectures there. And because I only had two lectures, I didn't think it would be smart to talk about something so bombastic. But I thought if I talk about brachot, I'll get some follow-up questions. I'll make people feel a little challenged and uncomfortable. Maybe a few people will say brachot before they eat. Okay? You should know, in that shir, Bruce, you know what I spoke about Ben Hashar? I said, you know what's amazing about brachot? People ask me if they can make kiddush on treif wine. Now, you know, in that crowd, there were about, I'm not even going to tell you how many, who probably do that. You probably do that. Now that's brought in Jewish law. That's a question. A machloket Rambam and Ravid. Bruce, the answer is you cannot just be someone that lets the world live, because live and let live is not a Jewish concept. And that post was a total postmodern post without, in my opinion, 1 ounce of Judaism. And I'll just end with the following. This rabbi said he doesn't want people to start keeping Shabbos because of the fear of the rabbi, called Yirat Hashem. He wants them to keep Shabbos because of Ahavat Hashem. Gentlemen, I agree 50%. You know what? I don't agree 100%. Because Ahavat Hashem is just one part of our relationship with God. There's also Yirat Hashem. Yira doesn't mean fear. That's what they teach us back in kindergarten. Yira means awe. Awe of God. Awe of its Torah. Looking at it and saying, wow. So ultimately, when people keep Shabbos when everything is hunky-dory, that's Ahavat Hashem. When it's difficult to keep Shabbos, when you're jet-lagged, when you're not feeling well, and then you keep Shabbos, that's more Yirat Hashem. So I'm not prepared to say that I want Jews around the world to take Yirat Hashem, throw it out. Hocheach tocheach et hamitacha, no longer relevant. No, that's also part of Judaism. Just like it's part of Judaism, Ahavat Hashem. And just like being a mensch is part of Judaism, Shabbos is part of Judaism. We don't pick and choose what's part of Judaism. Gentlemen, I let off steam, but Avi had a comment.
Was there any long-term follow-up?
I wrote back and forth a few times. I don't know what his success rate was, but from his post, you can see very clearly he wasn't really interested in any success rate. Meaning he didn't believe his job is to bring people closer to Judaism. We can read his post again. You tell me where in that post he said, my job is to bring closer to Judaism and this is the way I do it. It wasn't in there. It just wasn't in there. Gentlemen, wishing everyone Besarot Tovot, Yeshuot Venechamot, and we have a happy Hanukkah. I won't be seeing you at the end of the week. God willing, we'll be back next week.